Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today we're going to talk about job interviewing from a very specific angle. Our first question comes from a listener who wants to know what questions to ask to uncover a potential boss's character. Mm. Really good question. The second question is from a person who wants to work at a particular company, mm-hmm. but had a rough interview with a person who would be her boss. It's good that it happens early.
Yeah, so the first situation is about being prepared with questions and methods for finding out what a potential boss is really like. And the second one sounds like the person's deciding whether to work for someone, even if the interview is really unpleasant. Mm.
So let's just go to the first question.
I am an introvert, and I work for someone who is my opposite. He is arrogant, a horrible listener, and always taking credit for my work. The problem is, I liked him when I first interviewed for the job. He didn't show his true colors until I began working for him. Now I'm looking for another position, and I do not want to repeat the same mistake. What interview questions can I ask to help me discern if I'm putting myself in a similar position? What kinds of responses, verbal or physical, could indicate this is someone who will be hard for me to work with?
Yeah. I'm so glad the person's asking that, because I think it's true that, you know, we go on interviews thinking, you know, we want the job.
Yeah.
But actually, you really have to ask yourself, do you really want that job? And you should be interviewing your potential boss also, although very difficult.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's not usually something that's accepted.
Difficult to uncover who that person really is.
I think it's very difficult. It's like going out on one date and thinking you know the person.
Although, if we can jump into that analogy.
All right. She loves the dating analogy.
Dates usually tell you who they are.
Oh, come on.
They do.
They do not lay it out.
There are indicators.
Budget on the first date.
Absolutely. You can get away with a murder on the first date.
I totally exercise 5 times a week.
Yeah, exactly.
Volunteer and...
Well, put it this way. I would ask this person...
Well, maybe you need a degree from Harvard to be able to figure out on the first date. All right, Catherine can figure it out.
This is, but let me just suggest this. One thing that I would say is it's good to start with the boss you don't want to work for again. Mm-hmm. And that is that if you look back and think about that first interview, mm-hmm. today in hindsight, with 2020 hindsight, were there any indicators of what you're currently living with? True. Like the famous one of our clients who's, person he was interviewing with had a whip above her
office. It was a woman and she had a whip. Mm. Yeah. And then she turned out to be crazy.
Yeah. Or if the person shows
that was
up
a
very
little
late.
Obvious.
Right. Anyway, would you encourage her to do that?
I think it's good because the things that you realize later that you wrote off were probably subtle. Mm-hmm. So there are certain questions you can ask. And actually, I even think their behavior when you ask these questions is telling. But you could say, what's the turnover rate here? Uh-huh. How long have, or you may not want to say turnover. You may just want to say, how long have other people in this department been here?
Yeah.
And that will give you some idea because in a really toxic environment, they usually have turnover complete.
High rate.
A very high rate. Everyone leaves within a year.
Yeah.
And if people have been there for a substantial amount of time, and that would be really 2+ years, I think it may be a pleasant place to work.
Yeah.
But you also want to ask, you know, how will I know if I'm successful at this job?
Uh-huh.
What are your expectations?
Uh-huh.
So, and there's lots of other questions that are in Working With You Is Killing Me that, you know, you can go in and ask certain questions. It's also good to see if you can find someone who already worked for this person.
Yes, that's good.
That's always great. We can't always find that. Even if it's just a customer, just to get other points of view. You know, we have a client who did get a reference on a woman who we ultimately ended up letting go. And in the reference, she said in the most positive way some negative things about this person. And maybe it was because they said it in the most positive ways, or it just didn't sound that bad when they heard that review. But it turned out that those were pretty bad to live with. One was that she was not imaginative.
Uh-huh.
And then it turned out that that lack of imagination, her rigidity in black and white, really was
big
not...
Big problem.
Yeah, it ended up being a very big problem. But I think when they heard it the first time, it sounded like, oh, so she's not creative. All right, she's not going to draw us a picture. Yeah. I don't think they really understood how bad that was.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was said that way.
Right. I also think you can ask some of the... And this is probably in working with you is killing me. There's to ask the individual how they would describe their management style. Mm-hmm. You can notice how he or she addresses the other people around them, because maybe they're going to be nice to you, but not so nice to others. I would also say that you can take the list of the things that you don't like in your current boss and draw a list of those opposite qualities and see if you experience that. You know, is if they're if you don't want arrogant, does the person you're speaking to seem fairly humble? And I don't mean humble like humiliated, but humble just simply knows who they are and doesn't have to brag about it. If they're the person you work for now is a bad listener, do you notice that the individual is actually listening to you during the interview? I mean, that's, or are they constantly interrupted? Does the interview itself take place in a kind of bumpy, chaotic manner? Which I think tells you a lot about the person you're dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, all this is true. I think you have to have every sixth sense that you have in your being awake at that moment when you're with your potential boss to see if there's any red flags for you. And I think it's interesting this person said the way they feel. I think if you, and whatever those are for you, I tend to feel it in my stomach. My heart starts to race. I just feel physically uncomfortable and I don't know what it is. And that's usually energetic. I'm picking it up.
That's so interesting you say that, because I remember going on an interview with a good, it was a human service agency and it was a good cause and it was an interesting position. But the entire time that I spoke with the person for whom I would work, I felt really nervous and edgy. And not like nervous, I'm nervous about the interview, but just nervous in their presence. And one of the things that she said to me when I asked for a higher salary was, oh my God, that's almost as much as I'm making. And then she said, we like to be able to identify with our clients here, so we don't make too much money. And so those two things were...
Oh, wow. Did you run? Did you put your sneakers on and, and hit the road?
I did make a decision not to work with this individual, but those comments came after the visceral experience that I had.
I think sometimes we write those visceral experiences off as, you know, oh, maybe it was that lunch, you know, or we just don't know what it is. But take them for reality that your body's telling you something, because I think sometimes your body knows before your mind knows.
It's a good
did you
point.
Get offered that job?
I did, Kathy.
The woman was going to hire you? And what did you say?
I said, I've realized that I'm going to go in a different direction.
Oh, you didn't want to tell the truth.
You make me nervous and I would never work for you? No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, that usually doesn't go well, just in case you wanted to ever go back.
You don't want to burn a bridge, right? Yeah, we always talk about no bridge burning.
You really don't. There's no satisfaction in that, but it's the way to go.
It's a tough...
This is very, very, very tough, and I think it's something that everybody, I'd love to see everybody incorporate.
Right. Well, and I think it starts with that primary thing that you said, which is to really go in looking to discover who is this person who's interviewing me, that you need to see who you are going to work for. I mean, that really does matter.
I think this also speaks to business owners that are interviewing clients. That we tend to just think, oh, it's a client and they're going to pay us, so I'm going to hire, you know, I'm going to work with them. And I think I would love to see more business owners get more discerning about their clients, because once you have a client that's really, really difficult, you're not even really making that money. You're losing money because you end up putting so many hours into feeling like crap and fielding their nasty comments. So it goes both ways.
Well, you know, but what's interesting about that is we've talked about this quite a bit, Logan, because we have talked about our own what we call fatal attractions in terms of clients, and Kathy is a different one than I do. And what's happened is as we've...
I just rolled my eyes.
Kathy just rolled her eyes. As we've uncovered what they are, then we try to help each other to discern, uh-oh, is that a fatal attraction or is this a healthy connection? Yeah. And that's another thing you could do is really uncover. You'd have to go to Working With You Is Killing Me and look at the fatal attraction chapter, but you could do it also on your own to think about what is, if I'm trying to get out of a bad situation here, what is it about this original boss that drew me in that turned out to be not so good for me? Because there are patterns.
Right, absolutely. Kathy? I totally believe there's patterns. I think, and if you read the Fatal Attraction chapter, you see that it feels comfortable at first.
Yeah, cozy.
Because it's a familiar relationship. You don't realize it's the familiar bad relationship.
Right.
At first, it's just familiar. So you got to be really careful of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we've kind of said it.
Yeah, so I'll just share. Mine is a pedestal smasher, so that's the kind of person who would, during an interview, build me up and say, I hope you can help us, and we've tried with many people, and it hasn't worked out yet, but you seem to have the credentials that could make this possible. All that should be, for me, an alarm going off saying, not a good idea. We've tried so many people before you. Only you can do it. We've been disappointed in the past. Those are all red flags.
Right,
Kathy?
That's accurate. Mine is the saboteur, an equally charming person who comes in and tells me how fabulous I am, and they really get me, and, you know, they love everything, and, oh, I'm fabulous, 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 and then the next thing I know, they're stealing something, clients, my ideas, and they're...
Yeah.
And not to my face. They're doing it behind my back, and somebody else will... tell me, hey, that person just badmouthed you, but they don't to my face, so I don't know.
So this is a good example, though. How would you uncover if a boss, potential boss, had those characteristics?
Well, I now know that anyone who fawns over me very quickly before they know me, I move away from.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And anyone that comes on as a really quick friend.
Yeah. Too friendly, too fast.
Right. I move
away
from.
And too flattering, too fast.
And I had an experience recently where I really backed off, and then I watched, and within a year, she would have really been a problem for me, but I completely didn't allow it. She ended up just showing and killing her, putting her own foot in her mouth.
Yeah.
But I watched it. That's something. They make these false promises early on to me.
Okay,
promises are the really good one. Because they sound so like, oh, wow, that's okay. And then they're false. They're fake.
Okay, good. So listen to this, everybody. Really, these are great indicators of a not good situation.
Well, for me, they always come in the form of like, oh, I have so many clients for you.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got this one, and they'll even take me to their website, and they'll tell me all these intimate details about the client. And then it never manifests. I never hear from these clients.
Right.
So whenever anybody does that to me, I think, well, why didn't you give them my number already?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just don't buy it.
Right.
I just don't. As soon as somebody tells me that, they're going to send me all these clients, I just forget that they ever said that.
So that's good. So over-promising, and then people who are overly friendly. This may sound strange.
But this is my fatal attraction.
This is yours. But I think, generally speaking, that when the intensity is over the top, whether it's positive complimenting your work history or promising you things that can happen on the job, or, you know, immediately wanting you to take over all the divisions that are not working well, those are indicators that you need to slow down and do some more homework.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's usually those are usually people who burn out fast, right? They come on hot and heavy, and they promise you a lot of things. And if you are wanting a new job and wanting to get out of your current situation, it's very appealing. But at the end of the line, it's not good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So read Fatal Attractions.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break and come back with question number two.
If you like this podcast, you might want Kathy and Catherine to come into your company.
Yes, we can come into your company, give a lecture as a lunch and learn.
Or we can be your next keynote speakers at your conference.
Or we can give a webinar, teleconference, or a live interactive workshop.
Choose from a large number of topics such as dealing with difficult people at work, managing up, the business of setting boundaries, and numerous others. Check out our website for more.
Or just give us a call or send an email. All of our contact information is on our website, ksquaredenterprises.com. Welcome back. Logan, what's our next question?
I recently interviewed at a major financial institution for a high-level position in compliance. The company had me come in for a full day of interviews. The first four interviews went extremely well. The last interview, however, was with the woman who'd be my boss. She arrived late for my interview, looked disheveled, and wore a frown throughout our conversation. She interrupted me several times as I tried to answer her questions, and at one point said, "That is a ridiculous statement." I felt like I needed to take a shower afterwards. I really want to work for this company. If I get the offer, should I take this job?
Ugh. And then you'll be showering all
goodness.
The time. Oh, my
goodness. Exactly. I would invest in some soap.
Show up in your bathing suit.
No, you shouldn't take this job. Unless you can work for somebody else. I mean, you know, I get it. You probably want to work for the company. And, you know, you maybe don't like where you are now. So you want to transfer this to another situation. But I think this interviewer told you everything you needed to know.
Yes.
I mean, that's the honeymoon phase.
That's right. Everyone's on their best behavior.
Right. That's why it's hard to discern the bad ones on an interview because they're covering it up. But if this one had no chance to cover it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know how we write it off. Oh, they're having a bad day. Oh, something must have happened. It had, you know, or maybe it was me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, it was them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and to that point, you know, we work for bosses, right? We often say that people quit bosses, not jobs. Mm-hmm. And so this person is going to be the key determinant of your daily experience on the job, which means you'll be with someone who cuts you off, gets angry with you, says demeaning things to you, and doesn't look very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you won't even be showering, actually. You'll be too depressed to shower. No, I think, if you really want to work for that company, I'd go back to HR and see if there's other opportunities, other options in the company, but not that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's not over with the company, but I think it's over for that situation.
I'll tell you what I find so interesting about this situation is why does the company have this person?
Well, that's very telling. That's very, very telling. I think that they're probably not the only one. Like, they tolerate that behavior.
Yeah.
And there's a reason.
Maybe they're brilliant at what they do, or they bring in a lot of money, or they have great connections with clients or something.
That's it. That, or they are a company that manages by fear. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I think you do have to wonder why somebody who behaves that way is there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And in a position of management.
Right. Yeah, I don't think it bodes well for the company.
Yeah.
Unless the woman were to call you and apologize and say, "I was having just the worst day and I'm afraid I may have taken it out on you, I still would never work for that person.
Right.
If she couldn't pull it together, she could have canceled it and said, "Now's not a good time."
Right.
If she was really having a bad day, or she could have said something early on so that you were aware, but no, that's not what happened.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I would say there's something wrong there, and be grateful that you found out then rather than
rejection is protection.
I think that's true.
In this case.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen that before. I've seen people say, "Well, I heard them yell at the receptionist, but they were very nice to me."
Right.
That's not good enough. If they yelled at anyone in your presence, they're going to yell at you once you're hired.
I had a client who went on an interview, and the person was much like this, but then that individual broke down into tears and said, "I'm so sorry, I'm under so much stress."
Well, there you go. So the person did own it.
Yeah.
But so did they take the job?
No.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, because ultimately it seemed like a very unstable situation, an unstable person.
Right.
And it was telling this individual something about that culture.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, they had this individual who was obviously an emotional wreck in this position. Her day-to-day was going to be wreckish.
Right. You know, not everybody's good at interviewing, so you do have to also be able to see through that. Yeah. But I think treating you poorly, unacceptable.
Right. And it bodes very poorly for future interactions.
Definitely.
If they're allowed to get away with it in the interview, that's just the beginning.
Right. It's just the beginning of a nightmare. Yeah, so that's really too bad, because I'm sure if you're going on an interview, you want a job.
Yes.
And this one is not going to pan out.
Especially if you like the company, you really are excited about the potential of working with the company.
Right. That's really too bad. And this person had other interviews prior that went really well.
Four.
That's really crazy.
Yeah. Which can happen, right? You meet with someone in HR, you may meet the head of the department, you may meet somebody else who would be your coworker. You know,
I would go back to HR, although I don't know that it would work out well, and say the timing is off. I'd be interested in something in the future.
Ah.
Maybe do it that way so that you don't say you got a nut job in that. You know, you don't do that because they may not agree.
That's interesting, Kathy. Would you do it before you heard whether or not you got the job? Because this individual may not have gotten
the job. Well, I would withdraw my application.
You would.
Yeah, so that's one of the things you can do right at that point.
Uh-huh.
Don't wait to be rejected or accepted. But you could just write in and just say, I'm so sorry, something's come up and I'm withdrawing my application at this point. Or, I don't know, I got a promotion. You have to come up with something. Or I'm taking another position. But I'd be very interested in speaking with you in the future.
That sounds great.
And that way, everybody saves face.
Take a lemon and make a lemonade is what it sounds like to me.
I hear lemonade. I don't know. I mean, I ask a lot of my clients to withdraw their application before they're not going to get the job. And they go, oh, no, I don't really want to do that. And then they don't get the job. And then they think, why didn't you force me to do that? I've had many people say that.
Uh-huh.
But I'm never going to force someone to do that. But I think if you don't want it, you know you don't want it.
Yeah.
You should withdraw your application. First of all, why have them offer you a job you know you're not going to take? Well, they're taking it away from somebody else.
And they may resent you for putting them through the paces.
I think so. When somebody told me they just offered their top candidate a job and they never even called back.
Wow.
I mean, you're never going to interview there again. Why would you do that? So be more mature about it. Be responsible. That would be a not burning bridges thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Logan, have you ever had an interview with a boss that you thought immediately, uh-oh, this is not going to work out? Or did you say yes to one that you should have said no to?
I definitely have said yes to one that I should have said no to and then regretted it later.
But. Did you know at the interview?
There were some warning signs there, yeah. Yeah.
And what did you tell yourself? It'll get better. That's okay.
Yeah, I did. Because I really wanted the job.
It
seemed like a really fun atmosphere.
That's what
and I really wanted the job. So I just put it on the back burner.
That's what we all do.
It. Yeah.
There you go.
I've done that too. I'm trying to solve one problem.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that solves that problem.
Yes.
I'm getting out of there.
Yeah.
Right.
But it wasn't the right decision.
Okay.
Yeah, the last job I held was a nightmare.
Okay.
And then I became self-employed after that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we
have this with clients. It's the same kind of a thing where a client will call us and they'll say what they're looking for and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we don't have to accept every client either.
No.
But it's the same thing as a job. You feel, oh, my God, they want us. You know, we want to work. We want the money.
Mm-hmm.
And you should not take every client that comes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really hard thing to business. Right now, business owners are like turning this off.
Right,
all right, well, that's the end of that podcast.
Right.
I don't need to listen to her anymore. But it's true. I mean, if you know early on, you can't help them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's also that 20-80 rule, right? that 20% of your clients take up 80% of your time, and the difficult ones take up 95% of your time. Mm-hmm. They're real time eaters, the bad clients.
And you have to think about them. They keep you up at night, and it's always a tug of war. So we're pretty lucky at this point. We have not, you know, we're pretty good at cutting it off.
We are, and we're fortunate that we attract wonderful clients.
It's true, but every once in a while, one will come, and then we're good at saying, no, we're probably not the ones to help you.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's similar to withdrawing your application.
It's the same thing. Right. We're going to withdraw our application.
All right, so I'm going to sum up what we're saying, because I think it's really interesting. I mean, we've all made the mistake that we're asking this individual not to make, right, which is that you must not confuse opportunity with the reality that working for certain individuals is going to be a nightmare. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so if you withdraw your application, you can, if it's a large company, still say, I'm interested in working. I'd still like to be considered for the long run, mm-hmm. but I'm not available right now. Something's mm-hmm. come up, and then you have to come up with something clever. But that doesn't shut the door. And we're also really encouraging you not to say yes to what is not going to be a good experience.
Yeah, it's a hard one, but it's
so to know what you know.
It will save a lot.
Yeah,
right.
Trust that you'll find the next better opportunity.
And I think when you say no to what's wrong, it's actually a very powerful message to send to yourself of self-care.
I agree, mm-hmm. Kathy. And you know, the thing that I think is really interesting is saying yes to someone like this is the opposite.
Right.
It's almost like self-abuse because
it is.
You're now signing up for someone treating you very poorly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
That's it for this podcast. Tweet us your stories about job interviews and your tips for finding out whether you want to work for someone to AskK2. Vote for us on Podcastland. Review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.